Monday morning, brand new week, JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning to you.
Yeah, hi Mike, how are you?
Have I told you, or have I told you he's a moron?
Well, you know, you're paid to have an opinion, I'm paid to try and be, you know, a little, I'm paid to sort of try and be somewhat more, you know, middle of the road, aren't I?
Well, explain this away then.
Yeah, you can't really. It's been a tumultuous few days for old Tesla and Elon Musk, and at the end of it, I think it's fair to say that Elon Musk has been handed a very expensive reminder that you do occasionally have to follow the rules. Look, shall we recap quickly what happened? Elon Musk advised the market in early August, via tweet, of course, that he was considering taking Tesla private at $420 a share. Now, that followed meetings involving the Saudi Sovereign Investment Fund. That had been going on since 2017. Now, I would invite people out there to Google how he arrived at the $420 number, because that's a story in itself. But unfortunately, you do have to follow a process if you're listed on the NASDAQ. And the company very quickly realized that Musk's tweets were probably outside the required process. If you look at what's been released by the SEC, Mike, they realized within half an hour that they were probably outside of the rules. Anyway, by August 24th, they'd abandoned that. And unfortunately, though, the process of him being admonished by the SEC has been fraught as well. So news broke late last week that the Securities and Exchange Commission had filed a lawsuit against Musk. That's after he had rejected a settlement with them. That would have meant he would have had to have stepped down as CEO. And over the weekend, we've now got news of a settlement. So they threw the book at him, and I think probably somebody around him made him see sense. So we've got news of a settlement. Musk and Tesla both have to pay fines of $20 million. So Musk pays that personally, and Tesla pay it. There are governance changes at Tesla, so Musk steps down as chairman of the board. There are also some other requirements over the composition of the board. But hey, Mike, look, how do you comment on this? I mean, I think basically this is it a good idea to pick a fight with the regulator? Probably not.
No.
And I saw over the weekend, basically hubris is Elon Musk's problem here, isn't it? And he really needs to focus on executing the strategy. Mm-hmm. Just make some cars.
Yeah, give me a Model 3. Give all the hundreds of thousands of people who put $1,000 down
some
a car.
Cars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Across the Tasman, it's a bit ugly, this banking report, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Hayne report. This is the report out of the Banking Royal Commission by Kenneth Hayne. And look, we've seen the testimony given verbally to the commission by the bank CEOs. There's been considerable anticipation about the content of this report. Now, interestingly, the report, which was released on Friday, doesn't contain any recommendations, only interim report. And actually, the bank share prices, Mike, were all the big banks in Australia, they were all up on Friday, but it is unequivocally damning of the Australian finance industry. And the language used is brutal. I mean, there's no punches being pulled at all. And I believe this will go down as a benchmark moment in Australian corporate history. It is scathing. Here's a couple of sentences. The root cause of what happened was greed, the greed of both licensees and advisors. And another telling statement, no matter whether the motive is called greed, avarice, or pursuit of profit, the conduct ignores basic standards of honesty. I mean, you can't get more damning than that, can you? They acknowledge the profound effect that bank conduct had on farmers. So no recommendations. But Mike, it's hard not to see some sort of impact on bank profitability. I mean, we're already hearing anecdotal evidence of a significant change in the sales culture of major banks, but it's hard not to see this translating to low growth rates, lower sales of financial products.
We will wait and see, and I mentioned a moment ago that Frydenberg had a word or two, so the pressure's on them politically. What are the numbers?
Yeah, the Dow Jones on Friday closed up 26,458. Not much change. S&P 500, 2913, and the NASDAQ up 4,8046. The FTSE 100, they lost 35.7510. Storming day on the Nikkei. They gained 323 points, 24120. Shanghai Composite up 32821. The ASX, the Australian market, actually rallied on Friday, 6207 up 26. And we gained 65 points. And the NZX 50 up 0.7% to close the September quarter at 9351. On the currencies, Kiwi dollar 0.6619, a little bit lower against the US, 0.9166 against the Aussie, 0.5706 euro, 0.5084 pounds, 75.28 yen. Gold trading at $1,190.88 US, and Brent crude higher again, Mike, $82.73.
Doesn't help at the pump. All right, mate, have a good one. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, he's at JMI Wealth. He and the team and the expertise at jmiwealth.co.nz.